All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, July 25th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had some League of Legends action get underway earlier today. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We have golf round two and the cut, which I believe is going to be minus five. Hope that helps you guys out. We had some tennis action this morning, and then we also had the LIV golf slate get underway today as well. So four sports of action already underway. For the rest of the evening, we do have a 13-game MLB main slate, three-game WNBA slate, and then we have trucks for NASCAR. So ton of DFS action coming at you today. It is Friday heading into the weekend. I do always recommend people sign up for our five-day trial going into the weekend, get access to all the weekend sports, and that takes you in to the middle of the week. So if you guys are interested in checking us out, five-day no strings attached free trial in the description of this video. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video as well. Get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show tomorrow on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Felt like a long intro. Let's get SaberSim up here. Actually, no questions to get us started, so we will jump straight into a build demo. So I am going to be pulling up the 13-game MLB main slate for today. Let's get that up on the screen. All right, all right. Cool. So slate coming up now. Looks like a ton of lineups already confirmed. Got a couple here that aren't confirmed around slate lock. One thing, just, you know, we have a lot of time to talk today. You know, if you're in like a time crunch or you have like certain time constraints, you can only build in like certain windows, right? Good thing about MLB is that lineups are generally out like 3 hours around lock. Now, if you're in a spot, right, where maybe you're coming up on like 6 Eastern and you know you're not going to be able to build like right up until lock, what I would do, right, this is what you really need to do, is figure out you know, maybe you're available at 7:30, right, but you're not going to be available from like 6:30 to 7:30. As long as the games that are starting at lock, those lineups are out and confirmed, you can build lineups. And then what you could do is come back and late swap for any lineups that haven't come out yet, right? Like we might not get Mets and Giants before the slate starts. We might get Angels in Seattle, but you know, who knows, right? If these aren't out, that's okay. You don't need all the lineups to be out in order to build your first set. As long as the games that are starting at lock that you're not going to be able to change out of are out, then you're good. So like for me, right, I would like for sure make sure that Phillies, New York, Colorado, Baltimore, Toronto, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Dodgers, Boston, Padres, St. Louis. I would want these five games all confirmed before I built my like my set of lineups that I'm going to upload, right? And then that'll be like my first final set, right? As long as that's all done, because these are all starting within like a 10-minute window here, I think you're good, because then you have 25 minutes before the next game starts. So if there's like some swap option, you know, you have 25 minutes to work on it, right? So those are just some thoughts around, you know, navigating DFS with, you know, other commitments that you might have. So just small note there. All right. And that came up because I saw Baltimore and Toronto weren't out yet, but all the other games were. All right. So outside of timing of builds, let's actually get into talking about, you know, process and strategy stuff. So we're going to build some lineups for this slate. Let's say I'm going to build 5,000 lineups. I am just going to make the two required projection adjustments. Somebody was asking me the other day, where is the setting or rule to allow / disallow batter versus pitcher? That is a default rule that we create for you, but you do have to turn it on. So you go to rules, you open up the group section, and then you turn on this don't use batters against the opposing pitcher. Okay, so that's where it is. And then once you turn it on, once you see that little number in the red circle, that means that a rule is active. If you have two rules, it'll say two, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So outside of that, not doing too much here. Going to click build lineups. Now, as far as my templates go, right, I am generally recommending to use the one that is like the default, where it creates a single lineup group for each contest in your entry file. I think that one's great. I think that's basically all you need. But you can mess around and customize them depending on what type of contest you're playing, right? The more different type of contest you're playing with satellites and different types and things like that, you might want to get different, right? If you're playing contests like that have a very wide range in stakes, right? Maybe you have like some higher dollar stuff and then, you know, but you still have access to low stakes, so you're playing some lower dollar stuff. You might want to group those together too, right? Or I mean, group them like away from each other, technically, like add some more groups in to kind of manage that. So a lot of different options there, very, very specific to the contests that you're playing, but templates have a lot of functionality to customize them. So I think they're very useful. All right, while this lineup or these lineups load up and the sim starts, I'm going to pull up this question from Duck. If I build now or after those five games lock, like suggested, and I'm given, let's say, 40 entries with Buxton, and then he is out, since that is a large difference, would you rebuild after the quick swap that is? Okay, yes. Good question. So, in general, you know, this is maybe my opinion here. I think that quick swap, which is the red lightning bolt, is the best tool for getting out players out of your lineups and projected players into your lineups. Then I think late swap is the best tool for re-optimizing your lineups. I don't think late swap is the best tool for getting out players out of your lineups. And the main reason is that late swap abides by rules, exposures, minimax salary, any of these things in the player table, late swap abides by them. Quick swap does not. Quick swap does not care what your min salary is. Quick swap does not care what exposures you have set. It is getting those players out, you know, without even thinking about what's in your build, right? I would always, always start there. You know, you do a quick swap and then you open up a late swap build. So I would like for sure do exactly what you said of, hey, I would swap out Buxton just to get him out and then get new lineups in. But then I would come back to Sabres him. And then I would run a late swap to re-optimize my lineups now that he's out, now that somebody else is in, right? You're probably going to have a lower salary player in the leadoff spot. You know, some other outfielder is going to be in the lineup. There's a lot of reasons to re-optimize. I think it's okay not to re-optimize in the event that, you know, maybe you swap. Maybe it's not Buxton, right? Maybe it is, go to the Mets. You know, maybe it's like Royce Lewis or something, right? And Royce Lewis is batting sixth. Maybe you only have five lineups with him and you're like, ah, is it really worth it for me to do the late swap? If you feel like the answer to that question is yes for you, great. You know, go ahead. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. But if you're like, I'd rather just quick swap, maybe even quick swap from the same team, so I keep some of those Met stacks intact. And quick swap has like been, you know, really revamped where you can have a lot of different settings. You're like, preserve team stacks or swap a secondary player to get this player out, or what's another one? There's one I'm thinking about. Oh, if I swap this guy out and he's a lot lower salary, then swap somebody else out to bring my salary back up to like whatever threshold I set, right? There's a lot of like cool things that the team has put into quick swap now that I think are useful, where sometimes you might not even want to late swap, right? If you have five lineups that have an out player out of 150, maybe you're in a situation where you're like, you know what? I spent a lot of time kind of curating and fine tuning and, you know, painting my lineup set. I don't really want to have to do all that over. I'd rather just use a quick swap, keep the other 145 lineups as is and go from there, right? That's totally okay too. And I could definitely see people wanting to do that. So a lot of, I think there are more options now than there's ever been to get in good swaps. And you just got to figure out which approach feels the best to you. Mojo said, hello, what is going on? Duck followed up saying, let's say it's still 20 minutes or so before all slates lock. Oh, okay. So if the slate has not started, I would always do a rebuild if you can. Okay. You're going to have an idea of like, hey, how long does it take me from clicking build to letting the build run, to letting the sim run, to letting the diversifier run, to saving and uploading, right? You have to have like a sense of how long that takes for you. So for instance, this was, I don't know, maybe like 3 weeks, a month ago, maybe something like that. There was a situation where Boston and Cincinnati was in Boston and it was like 4:02 my time. And the slate locked at 4:07, and Cincinnati was the away team in the game that started at 4:07. So they were the first game on the slate, and Spencer Steer gets scratched like 5 minutes before lock. Now, I knew that I would not have enough time to rebuild lineups, which is the optimal like decision. So like what you should do, right, is rebuild, refresh projections. Let that player get out of the lineup. Let the Saber sim update with the new lineup and new projections, and then rebuild lineups, right? If the slate has not started, always do a rebuild if you have time. Now, in the event that you end up in a situation like I did where you don't have time, you're like, there is no way I can do end-to-end in the next, 4 minutes and 59 seconds and counting, right? What I did is I let the projections refresh. Steer's projection went to zero. Then I reran the contest sim and I set a max exposure of zero to him just to be safe. So the max exposure will make sure he won't get in lineups. The contest sim rerunning makes sure that all the lineups with him, I mean, if you have a player with a zero in your lineups, you're like probably going to be negative sim ROI, but it reruns the sims and effectively like moves all of the lineups with him that were grading out higher down, right? Because the ROIs can change. So like if he was, 2, 5, 10, for instance, well, now all of his lineups went all the way to the bottom of the pool, right? Now if I have like a 500 pool, well, now they're all, 498, 499, 500, and all the other lineups come up, right? So the exposure takes them out of your lineups. The sim allows SaberSim to reorder the lineups and effectively move down all the lineups with him, and then you're able to at least save lineups and upload them. Now, the The bad part about that is that you don't rebuild at any point. So whoever is the new player replacing the player in question, you're not going to get any of them because you didn't rebuild lineups, right? So the lineups were already built and that player wasn't in any. So that is the sucky part. And then in my scenario, I think it was Encarnacion Strand ended up playing for Steer at batting eighth, and Encarnacion Strand hit a home run that game. I think he hit the only home run for Cincinnati. So that was kind of brutal, but it's a tough spot to be in. Always remember too, somebody told me this once, is like, whatever you are having to deal with time crunch wise, updates and things like that, everybody in your contest is facing the same problem and is probably cutting corners too, right? So everyone's kind of in the same boat. So don't feel like you're at like some huge disadvantage there, because it is really hard to update for that news quickly enough, but you want to just do the best you can. And at a bare minimum, just make sure to get the out player out of your lineups and get players who are playing into your lineups. And then even if that's, you know, players in a later game, great. You can late swap at some point. So those are the big things there. But if it is pre-slate and you have time, I would always refresh projections and then use rebuild lineups. All right. Good stuff so far. Going back to the slate demo here. So our sim ran. We're using portfolio. We have some aggregate metrics, projection, and ROI. I'm going to sort by exposure. I am filtered for the Twins, which is why I don't have any exposures. All right, so we're looking at one lineup. I want to open this up. Say we're going to build, you know, 75 lineups, right? We're going to enter less about half the max in a 150 max contest today. All right, diversifier reruns. Great. Cool. So now I'm about ready to analyze this. What I see like right out of the gate, right? I haven't even gone through like a lot of the normal steps I do. This is actually a good opportunity here, right? Hey, you know, lineups come out. I can refresh and then I can rebuild if I want. I'm just going to roll with what we got for now. But like the first thing I'm looking at before I make any changes, before I do anything, is I'm always looking at how much leverage we have. Here are top exposures from 32% to 14.7. We don't have a single player in double-digit leverage. This is a little bit more common on very large MLB slates, right? Like today is a 13-game MLB slate, and there are, you know, 9 batters per team, and there are 26 teams in 13 games. So the player pool is very big. It's about, I don't know, 250-ish. Players, something close to that, maybe 240, not including pitchers, right? Like 200, I think it's 26 times 9, so that's 234 plus pitchers, 26. So yeah, it's actually 260 players in the player pool. There are a ton of options, right? So SaberSim is generally gonna get a little bit more spread out, especially using portfolio mode here, right? We switch over to uniques, we might be a little bit more concentrated. So like, let's just see. Yeah, we switch over to uniques, we see a ton more double digit leverage. Now, some of that is coming from pitchers, which is generally fine. Some of that is coming from batters, you know, seeing like some Washington and some A's pop here. I like what Portfolio does here. Portfolio has been doing a great job of spreading things around. So we're going to go back to portfolio, and then we're just going to start analyzing this. Honestly, I'm approaching this with the intention of I don't need to make that many changes probably here, and I'm just doing some spot checking and some QA. So I just want to make sure like, hey, are my lineups correlated? Yeah, you know, top three exposures are all 5 stacks. Okay, great. Am I game stacking anywhere? It's not a Coors slate. That's like something I always look for. Like, hey, is there a game in Coors? But it looks like they're on the road. Okay, top stacks, Yankees, Baltimore, Dodgers. If I sort by projected runs, these are the top three projected run teams, right? So we're getting good teams, right? We're getting teams with decent projections. And then we're taking some shots on some other teams along the way, right? Only taking a very few number of shots on teams like under 4.5 runs. That feels right. Taking a little bit of a stand on like Houston, Minnesota, Boston, you know, taking some shots on some of these more middle of the pack teams. I think that's okay. You can also look at your five stacks, right? Like, hey, the high projected run teams are the teams we are getting a lot of five stacks of 7-7-6. And then maybe some of these other teams that we're getting other exposure to, maybe they're coming in as like smaller stacks, you know, who knows? But we're just like spot checking here. Like we're seeing some Minnesota creep up, some Houston, Minnesota seem like some of those middle of the pack teams we like. And we're taking a bit of a stand here on Houston. They are actually our highest five stack. I'll trust Sabre on that one and let it do what it wants there. You know, it's what the tool is good at is like finding those value spots. So stacks seem defined to me, you know, no team more than 25%. And then, you know, quickly goes down all three teams above five runs or the three teams in this 20 to 25 range. You know, I'm always asking myself, does this make sense? And it feels like it does. Question before we keep going. Could or would SaberSim ever point out pitcher-friendly parks, vice versa, or is that information built in already? Okay, so it's built into the sim. We have park factors, and we understand like dimensions and historical rates of parks in our sim logic. And then we also do take into account like Vegas data, right? So if like Vegas is taking in that to account, then that indirectly gets accounted for there. So indirect through odds directly in the sim. We don't do anything to specifically point it out in the app. I don't know what like the threshold is, or we would have to create like some grading system or see if like there's like a grading system available for like pitcher friendly to, you know, hitter friendly. I'm sure like Seattle's like the most pitcher friendly and like the Mets and then, you know, some other ones like, I don't know, Yankee Stadium, Cincinnati, or, you know, your more hitter friendly parks. Right. So it's not something we display in the app. I'm not sure if we ever will or not, but I can always take it back to the team as like a feature request. So feature request. Note. I don't know, ballpark friendliness. And maybe it's something we could like do in like the games tab or something. Maybe we, you know, add a column here or something like that. It's definitely something you could, I could see like being useful, you know, if people like want to see that information. So maybe it's something we could do here in the future. Yeah, Coors. I don't know like why I left off Coors. That's funny. Yeah, I just feel like whenever there is like a Coors game on the slate, not so concerned about, I just know like whoever's in Coors is like usually going to be like very, very chalky, right? Like if we go to our batters today, highest exposed team stack is like probably Baltimore, still against Colorado, but not like in Colorado. You know, if this was opposite, right? If like Baltimore's in Colorado rather than at home, these ownerships are like for sure going to be in like 25% range, like much, much higher. Like you'd have multiple 20% plus owned hitters there, which I think makes the slate like a little bit more interesting as far as like game theory goes. Like, do you want to fade like the super chalky hitters or do you want to play them? I think that just might require like a little bit more attention and kind of decisiveness about like how you want to approach the slate. So that's why I think about it. I always want to know like where the high ownership is and who it is. So Coors slate, just naturally that happens. trying to open Discord. And just taking a peek here in Discord, looks like we are still good there. So getting back to this, we talked about team stacks. We've talked about stack exposures, going over to pitchers. I always like to see, like, hey, are we getting to the high-value pitchers? It looks like we are. We're getting to Kremer. We're getting to Springs. We're getting to Eovaldi, getting to some Webb. And then how are we handling top projected pitchers? We're getting some Brian Wu. We're, like, about even with Shota. And then, so, like, for me, right, it's like, okay, we're getting the good value. We're getting the projected pitchers. You know, pitchers, like, check. You know, we're all set with pitchers. Go over to batters. No batter in more than 20% of my lineups. We have some positive leverage, not too much. Feels good, right? It's a little flat, sure, but it feels like we're on the right track here. So we've checked everything. I didn't expect to make any changes. I thought Portfolio did a great job here out of the gate, but still good to go put eyes on everything, because what if something stands out to you, right? What if you actually didn't like having Houston five stacks as like your highest five stack, right? Okay, you can come in here and set a max exposure and lower them down. You know, that's totally an okay thing to do. So those are the things like you want to, you know, just be aware of and make sure you're making conscious decisions of when you are making adjustments here. But all in all, I like the way these lineups look. I would be ready to save them and upload them to my contests. All right. Taking a look here. Looks like we're caught up in the chats, caught up in office hours. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.